Hey, guess what's happening on this week's episode of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with your friend and host, Oscar Camejo.
Hey, thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Are you tired? I mean, absolutely exhausted of feeling lost when it comes to exercising. Even if you have pre-diabetes or not, maybe you have type 2 diabetes and you're confused. You're trying to figure out, hey, what is the right way to start exercising? Maybe you haven't been exercising in a while. Maybe this is your first time launching into an exercise program and you're like, what am I supposed to do? I have pre-diabetes or maybe type 2 diabetes and I really don't know what to do. Well, guess what, my friend? I have good news for you today. Well, in today's episode, my friend, we're going to dive into the smart approach that can save you from the confusion and frustration so it can help you find the right exercise routine that actually works. Trust me, I know by experience that it's a game changer. Sometimes we deal with so much confusion and so much frustration that, you know what, we just need some real practical solution. And that's what this episode is all about. So in this week's episode, we're going to talk about some common mistakes. I'm going to share my personal journey when it comes to exercise and weight loss. And I'm going to share with you some smart exercise approaches that will help you to achieve results. Listen, it's all about learning about the pitfalls to avoid when starting or even restarting your fitness routine, living with type 2 diabetes, and ultimately wanting to reverse it. The goal is to ensure lasting results. That's why it's important to develop a lifestyle. Hence, the whole purpose of this entire podcast, the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast. From when I used to weigh 268 pounds to losing over 80 pounds in less than a year, I had to discover what it would take to transform my whole experience when it came to exercising. I mean, I love exercising. It's all about the fun and so forth. So I want to share with you some practical advice that's going to help you the right way so that you too can make some sustainable lifestyle changes that support your health goals as you manage and even potentially reverse type 2 diabetes. So my friends, stick around to hear the rest of today's episode. You definitely don't want to miss it. Let's go. Be sure to visit the website at www.beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com for access to free resources and other information that will help you along your journey. If you would like to submit a question or a comment about the show or to learn more about the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle, you can always email me at hello@beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Oscar Camejo. My goal is to help diabetics make lifestyle changes to reverse type 2 diabetes. You know what, folks? This podcast is now listened to in over 42 countries and territories. I am so grateful for the opportunity to not only use this platform, but to use social media, to use my website. And now I'm an official guest contributor on WebMD. So that is awesome. I get to write blogs and share my story, share some practical advice through WebMD, and I'm so grateful. So I wanted to share with you a couple of comments and messages that came from a few of my listeners. The first one comes from Wendy Coop. She wrote, "Been listening to your podcast. You inspired me to create my own. Thanks for sharing your journey." Well, Wendy's podcast is actually called The Unconventional Diabetic. She offers some education that she didn't get when she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes about 4 years ago. So Wendy, thank you for being a listener. And I'm so excited that you were able to go ahead and launch your own podcast. Girl, you're doing it big. So keep it up. And folks, go ahead and follow her as well. Her podcast is called The Unconventional Diabetic. Another message came from another user who was actually on his girlfriend's phone on TikTok, but he never left his name. But I am going to share this with you. That's pretty cool. Okay, here we go. This is what he wrote. "Hey, Oscar, I was using my girlfriend's phone and I was scrolling through her TikTok about diabetes and I started watching your videos. And I'm not going to lie, by God's will, your videos made a drastic change in my life. I almost died twice from diabetes with my blood glucose being 750. Thank you so much. Wow, man, this is what it's all about, folks. Just creating content that really helps people. So I wish he would have left his name and his information so I can reach out to him. But in any case, this, folks, is such a blessing to me because I'm passionate about health and nutrition and helping people who have type 2 diabetes or even pre-diabetes make lifestyle changes so that they can reverse those conditions and live a healthier lifestyle. You know, I love what I do. So thank you guys for tuning in. And listen, if you want to ever send me a message, you want to reach out to me, I'm all over the place. You can Google me. You can find me in the show notes. You can find links to my Facebook community group. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, all over the place. So be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast. And you know what? Do me a favor. Go ahead and rate the show. That actually helps the show to continue to grow. I am so grateful for you for tuning in today. You know, when I launched this podcast and the whole beating diabetes lifestyle community, if you will, my main goal from the beginning and up until now has been to help people. I come from a standpoint of relatability because I've been there. I'm not somebody who just found some program and just decided, hey, I'm just going to teach this and just share this with people and try to make money off of it. It's never been about money. It's never been about notoriety. It's all about sharing my story and the things that I put in place that helped to turn my life around. And if I can help people along the way, so be it. That's the main thing. You know, I find so much joy in helping people because, you know, I know what it feels like. You know, you're going through a tough time, some of you. You're dealing with the anxiety and the stress of learning that you have pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. Maybe your family has a history of these conditions and you're like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I talk to people often. It could be friends that I know, strangers that I run into. And when we start talking about type 2 diabetes, they know someone who has developed that condition or some situations where people may have died, loved ones may have died or have had amputations and so forth. And, you know, and I hate to hear about people losing lives and losing limbs. And so I just want to help save lives and help save limbs as much as possible. So when I come up with these episodes, these are based on real life scenarios, things that happen, conversations that I have with people. I get messages all the time from strangers and people that I know that want advice. So I do my best to give practical information because you know what? I know what it's like. You know, you get the diagnosis and you hear, hey, you got to eat better and exercise more. So if you've been following this podcast for any length of time, you know I'm big on talking about nutrition and physical fitness because those are the things that I had to put in place to turn my life around. And I'm so grateful that I have a second chance at life and I can share with you and the dozens and hundreds of people that listen to this podcast worldwide, literally. I'm not making that up. So again, thank you guys. I do focus a lot on nutrition, but this episode is not going to be so much about the things that we're putting in our bodies per se, but is what we do with our bodies in terms of exercise. But let me say this real quick. You cannot, and hear me loud and clear, you cannot out-exercise a poor diet. I mean, I can give you all the tips on how to lose weight through exercising and so forth, but that is to help build strength in your body, your endurance and so forth. But we still have to be mindful of the things that we put in our bodies. So I talk a lot about that. You can check out a bunch of episodes before to this episode where I talk a lot about nutrition. But I want to talk about the benefits of regular exercise and share my personal journey, as well as some common mistakes that people have made when they are starting off with their exercise. And they just go gung-ho, and a short while later, they fall off. Listen, that has happened to me. So I want to share with you some practical advice and information to help you live a lifestyle of regular exercise that is not just so you can accomplish a program and be done with it in 3 months or 4 weeks or 8 weeks, but it's just a part of your regular lifestyle. And fitness is what you do. Exercise is what you do. Living a healthy lifestyle is what you do. It's not a short-term fix for a progressive problem, such as type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes. My goal is to help you to, again, to make lifestyle changes to reverse type 2 diabetes and even prevent it in many cases. So the benefits of regular exercise. A lot of this stuff are no-brainers. But I definitely want to remind you of these benefits for those of you all who, you know, maybe it's been a while since you've exercised and you're just trying to jumpstart your exercise lifestyle. Or maybe you're new to exercising and you just want some tips. So here are the benefits of regular exercise. It lowers your blood sugar. It helps to boost your insulin sensitivity, because you know that's very important, as your pancreas creates insulin to help reduce the blood glucose in your bloodstream. It's important that the insulin is able to do what it needs to do. If you're dealing with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, maybe the insulin is not effective, and that's what's called insulin resistance. And we can do a whole episode on insulin resistance. But exercise helps to boost your insulin sensitivity. So your body can basically use the insulin that it naturally makes in an effective way and get your body to start regulating blood sugar like it was meant to do. Next thing is regular exercise helps to burn fat for weight loss. You know, that's a no-brainer, right? Exercise helps to strengthen and protect your heart. It also helps to strengthen and protect your lungs. I can't tell you the benefit of exercise that it has had on my breathing and vice versa. I mean, I breathe better now and I'm able to get through long workouts or even short, high intensity workouts without my heart feeling like it's about to explode in my chest. Another benefit is basically regular exercise helps make you feel good and look your best, which ultimately isn't that what we want? We want to look and feel great. So those are some of the benefits. There are a whole bunch of other benefits as well. You know, it gives you energy, helps with your stability, your endurance, and so forth. I mean, I love exercising now. I literally work out or do some form of exercise 7 days a week. That doesn't mean high intensity every single day, but that just means some form of exercise, whether it's walking, hiking. I go running. I do trail running. I like cycling. I like mountain biking. Of course, I like going into the gym and, you know, doing some resistance training and so forth. But you know what, folks? It wasn't always like that. I used to dread going out running and the heat, you know, or even if it was in the cool of the afternoon, I dreaded it because I was dealing with a lot of inflammation in my knees. My back used to hurt. My hips would hurt. My shins would hurt. My feet would hurt. It just seemed like, man, the older I got, the more things just became more uncomfortable. Let alone the fact that, you know, I was weighing 268 pounds and I was just carrying a lot of weight and exercise was just uncomfortable. And then I just started changing my approach and I started implementing some practical exercises, some things that were sustainable. And it just helped me on my journey to now love exercising. And it wasn't easy. But like I said, I used to weigh 268 pounds when I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. But then I was determined to turn my life around. And because I embarked on that weight loss journey, I mean, I started seeing results over time, but I had to be consistent. I had to keep going. And then guess what? I was able to shave off over 80 pounds in less than a year. And like I said, it wasn't easy, but it was something that I was committed to do. Now, listen, I didn't set out to lose 80 pounds. I just wanted to lose weight and look better. So I was going more for an aesthetic look as far as being more athletic, feeling more athletic, and so forth. So it wasn't like, hey, I wanted to lose 80 pounds. I didn't know what losing 80 pounds would look or feel like. All I know is I wanted to lose weight and look good in the process. So I was able to do that, but it took me changing my whole mindset when it came to exercising. Because you see, when I first started, you know, I was nervous. I was uncertain about, you know, what should I do? I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and I would hear about hypoglycemia. You know, that's when your blood sugar gets really low. And I had all kinds of questions about when should I take my medication? You know, I was wondering if I should even do intense workouts. Were they suitable for me? Or should I just stick to some lighter exercise for the rest of my life? Because, hey, I'm overweight and I don't feel like exercising sometimes. So let me just always take it easy. I was confused. You know, that whole fear of hypoglycemia, you know, was always looming over me. You know, I used to always carry these glucose tablets just in case something happened. And I would be working out on the exercise floor where I go and have a little bag with me. Like, oh my gosh, you know, if my blood sugar just drops, you know, I need to quickly take a tablet or drink some juice or something like that. And it was just this fear that was just always around. But you know, with time, knowledge, and experience, I started to become more relaxed and less stressed about managing my diabetes and working out. And it came to a point where it was like I was so relaxed. You know, I was still going to my doctor. I was still getting my regular checkups. My A1C started dropping until the point I was able to reverse type 2 diabetes. And now I don't worry about my blood sugar dropping too low because I don't take insulin injections. I'm not on diabetes medications and my blood sugar levels are back to normal. I no longer have signs of type 2 diabetes. I don't have pre-diabetes. But that came over time. That came through knowledge. That came through experience. That came through making lifestyle changes to reverse type 2 diabetes. Listen, folks, I believe as you start implementing these practical things that I'm telling you and avoiding some of these common mistakes, you're going to potentially experience some similar results or even better results in your own personal life. Now, listen. Exercise is subjective. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's situation is different. Some people have certain limitations when it comes to physical exercise, and I get it. But there are certain things that you can do that I believe can help you to turn things around. So now let's address some common mistakes that people make when starting or even restarting a fitness routine, especially if they're living with type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes. I want to say this, it's crucial. It's very crucial to avoid these pitfalls to make sure that a sustainable and successful approach to exercise is doable in your life. So here we go. Some people start without a plan or even a goal in mind. You know, they may have an unrealistic goal. They may say, okay, I want to lose 50 pounds in 50 days. You know, that's not necessarily realistic, you know, especially if you're not trying to starve yourself. Some people go on these extreme weight loss programs and because they saw something on Instagram or social media, or they heard from somebody who heard from somebody, but they don't have a clear plan. It's not a plan that's for them. Don't look at someone else's goal and then automatically say, okay, well, I'm going to do that because they achieved that result. You have to look at yourself. You have to look at your own life and begin with a clear plan. Set realistic goals and monitor your progress so that you can stay motivated. So again, a common mistake is that people start without a plan. They don't have structure. They don't have a goal in mind. And I don't want you to make your goal a specific weight loss number, because again, that number may change. That number may change over time, because I'll be honest, there was a time where initially I said, okay, I want to lose 30 pounds by my 30th high school reunion. You know, that 30 number really was just because my 30th anniversary, high school reunion was coming up, and I just thought, okay, that'll be cool. But guess what? I was able to lose that weight, those 30 pounds, before my high school reunion. I went there, I looked great, I was able to dance and have a great time. Then I had to come back, right? I had to come back. What was my lifestyle going to be after the 30 pound weight loss? You see what I'm saying? So don't just focus on a specific number. You step on the scale and you're like, oh man, I want to shave off 20 pounds. Okay, once you get there, then what? What is your lifestyle going to be like? That's why it's important to start with a plan and have a goal in mind. But again, that plan should be, how am I going to live my life in terms of exercise moving forward? Okay, here's another common mistake. A lot of people, and this gets me, they spend unnecessary money on fitness training. Now, this is where I want people to be cautious of certain programs that promise these overnight transformations. You know, you have some people that do some extreme things to lose weight. And I'm not even talking about the surgeries and stuff like that. But there's other things that people do. They buy these pills that promise, you know, amazing weight loss within 30 days. Folks, just when you see those ads come up on the television, just get rid of them. You know, bypass it. Don't click on the link when you see these things on social media. Because listen, there is no quick, fast, long-lasting pill that's going to cause you to lose weight. Folks, listen, I know there's people doing all these studies and all this stuff just sounds great, but there's something about making informed decisions, smart, old school decisions when it comes to the things that you put in your body and the things you do to your body. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't sign up for a training program or hire a fitness trainer. I think do what's going to work for you, but again, you put into practice some things that you are going to be able to sustain long term. You know, I've been saying that a lot, and I want to make sure that I keep echoing that. You know, you want to seek affordable options and focus on quality instruction that align with your needs. You know, I see people at the gym, some trainers at the gym, who they take every client through the same exact routines. And it irks me because you have a 70-year-old woman versus, let's say, a 30-year-old young guy. Their training programs cannot be the same. It just baffles me why people spend all this money. But I get it. A lot of people are desperate. They need help. They want accountability. They need someone in their ear telling them what to do often. And I'm not against that. I just don't want people to be taken advantage of. So again, spending unnecessary money on fitness training that really don't yield results. Again, I've seen some people who've been working with the same trainer, and unfortunately, the people look the same. Now, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging the trainer, and I'm not judging the client. Somebody could be making poor, bad eating choices even after training. I get that. But if you're going to put money into something, folks, make sure that you're not spending an exorbitant amount of money on training programs. I don't care if they have testimonials from, you know, people on video saying X, Y, Z. Listen, folks, I never signed up for a training program. I never hired a trainer. I found a program that was free through the Nike Training Club app, and I just followed the program. And till this day, it's still free. You know, you talk about 2.5 years later of me working the same program, able to mix it up, keep it fun, and so forth. In any case, I don't want to keep harping on that, but just be wise and when you are investing in your health and fitness, folks. You know, don't take shortcuts. Don't take these shortcuts to success. They aren't lasting. A lot of them, they aren't lasting. Okay. Next common mistake that some people make is taking their insulin injections prior to working out. Now, this is very important because, you know, insulin helps to lower blood sugar, right? Blood glucose. So if your blood sugar, it drops while you're taking or after taking insulin injection, then you go to go work out. Working out in and of itself helps to move glucose out of your blood system, a bloodstream, and into your muscles where the body uses that glucose for energy. So just be very, very mindful of to not take insulin injection prior to working out. The best thing is to consult with your doctor, your healthcare provider, to determine the appropriate timing and dosage of insulin for exercise to avoid, you know, imbalances in your blood sugar levels, because you don't want to end up in hypoglycemia where your blood sugar just drops really low and people get lightheaded. They fall. Some people fall and pass out and so forth. You definitely don't want to be in that situation. Listen, I used to be nervous. Again, as I mentioned, about when should I take my insulin injection? And I was like, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't eat, or maybe I should eat something that's high in carbs and still take my insulin injection. It was just confusing and so forth. So again, consult with your healthcare provider to make sure when is a proper time for you to take your insulin injection based on your projected calendar, if you will, of when you're going to be exercising and so forth. Another common mistake is that inadequate hydration throughout the day. You know, you're supposed to be properly hydrated all day throughout the day and never get to the point of being dehydrated. Dehydration really can affect your mental state. It can affect your energy and so forth. So you definitely want to make sure that proper hydration is your thing, because it's essential for your overall health and exercise performance. Now, I'm not saying be properly hydrated so you can exercise. I'm talking about being properly hydrated so you can live comfortably and live healthy, just period, just being hydrated. Now, hydration doesn't mean, getting hydrated doesn't mean, okay, well, let me drink a Coke before I go exercise and because it has water in it. So, or a high sugary sports drink because on the front, it says high hydration or something like that. No, I want you to increase your water intake and drink water regularly to stay well hydrated throughout the day. Even if you're not working out that day, it does not matter. I want you to make sure that you increase your daily water intake because your body needs it. Your body needs that energy. Your body needs that hydration. Another common mistake is insufficient nourishment to support your health goals. When you consume a balanced diet that supports your exercise routine and diabetes management, it's going to go a long way. That's why it's important to get educated, to educate yourself on nutrition, the things that you put in your body to help give you more energy, to make sure that you're eating foods that are rich in nutrients, you know, basically having a nutrient dense meal at every meal, because you know what? A lot of times we put in our bodies foods that are empty in calories, or they have empty calories, if you will. Basically, having stuff that's giving you calories, but you're not getting any nutritional benefits from it. So that's why I recommend that people seek guidance I'm a registered dietitian for, you know, some personalized recommendations. Now, what about supplements? You know, here's some another common mistake. You have some people who neglect taking supplements, you know, to make sure they're getting adequate vitamins and minerals, because you don't want to get to the point where your body is deficient in certain vitamins and minerals, because that can lead to other health complications. So while a healthy diet is the foundation, some people with diabetes may require additional supplements. I mean, again, that's why it's important to consult your doctor and your registered dietitian and so forth, just to make sure that you're meeting your nutritional needs on a daily basis. Another common mistake is you have some people who sabotage their efforts when it comes to exercise with unhealthy food choices. You know, some people are like, okay, well, I worked out today, so I earned a cheat meal today. And then you go backwards. You know, you're trying to lose weight, but you end up, you know, eating, you know, a cheat meal, that burger, the sausage and stuff that's just setting you way back. So instead, I want you to focus on incorporating nutritious and enjoyable foods in your diet. And foods are to be enjoyed. You just want to change how you're eating and what you're putting in your body. Another common mistake that people make when it comes to starting their exercise is they consume an excess of sugary drinks to give them quote unquote energy. They take these energy drinks that they find at a gas station or they find at a convenience store or somewhere, and it's just full of a bunch of sugar. You know, some people even drink soft drinks and, you know, they're thinking, okay, well, hey, I should, you know, put something sugary in my body to give me energy. You know, folks, listen, I don't drink soft drinks anymore. I don't drink soda anymore. I don't drink sports drinks. I don't drink any of that stuff. And I have a lot of energy when I go to the gym. And so I believe that for you, when you opt for water and unsweetened tea, if you like tea, you know, and other low sugar or no sugar alternatives, you can still make sure that you are being hydrated and that you're making sure that you are avoiding those sugary drinks. Because listen, folks, we don't need soda to survive. We really don't. We just like the taste. Okay. So hopefully you can relate to the things that I'm sharing with you so far and that you're thinking about your exercising habits and your current lifestyle. Maybe you're at a crossroads and you're thinking, wow, yeah, I hear you loud and clear, Oscar. I need to make some changes and I'm ready to make changes. Well, if that's you, that's great. So let's move on and talk about some smart exercise approaches. If you have prediabetes, you definitely need to get started immediately. Don't put it off. Don't put off exercise and nutrition a day longer. You know, I wish when I was first diagnosed with prediabetes back in 2018 that I had jumped on changing my life immediately, because that is the best time. If you are prediabetic right now, this is the best time for you to reverse prediabetes and never having to develop type 2 diabetes potentially. I believe that if you get started immediately, you know, by tracking your blood sugar on a regular basis, making sure you're keeping up with your numbers and keeping up with your exercise and changing your eating habits, getting rid of the high sugary foods, the high carb foods, and adopting a low carb diet and so forth, getting rid of fried foods and so forth. I believe that you can turn this pre-diabetes around and get your blood sugar levels back to normal. There's been so many studies about this approach, and I believe if you implement it immediately, you'll start seeing results. I've heard of people turning things around within like weeks, and I'm not talking about years, but weeks of being diagnosed with pre-diabetes. So again, get started immediately, start tracking your blood sugar. Make those changes that I've talked about earlier when it comes to your diet and so forth, and keep it up. Keep up with your doctor's appointment. Keep up with your blood work and so forth. Now, what if you have type 2 diabetes and you're on insulin you know, insulin injections and you're on medication. Now, that's very important for you to know where you are. I'm not sure how long you've been on insulin and these medications and have had type 2 diabetes, but I know the sooner you can start making the lifestyle changes, the better. So I want to talk with you about exercising the smart way while living with type 2 diabetes. Here are some practical tips for making sustainable lifestyle changes. Of course, you want to consult your primary care physician. You know, before starting any exercise program, you got to check with your doctor. Let him know what's going on, or let her know what's going on, what you're planning on doing. And a lot of doctors, of course, they're not going to tell you which exercises to do, but you want to know, okay, what are some safe things that I can do to prevent myself from getting into the area of hypoglycemia and so forth? Because again, you do want to lose weight, you do want to exercise, and you do want to eat healthier. My doctor, you know, basically sent me home with not really a plan, but it was more like a wake up call that, hey, you need to do whatever you need to do to turn your life around. So it was still up to me to educate myself and find things that I can enjoy doing, not only with when it comes to cooking, but when it came to exercising. You know, my doctor is not an exercise physiologist, so I had to go and seek out information. So I'm asking you to do the same thing. Now, when it comes to finding activities that you enjoy, I want you to discover some physical activities that are fun. You know, a lot of times people, when they start off in their exercise regimen and so forth, going to the gym, they dread going to the gym because they're dealing with so much pain and inflammation in the knees. Some of the stuff I talked about earlier, you know, aching joints, or maybe they try to start off, you know, doing too many things too fast, and it's just really intense, and they just feel like, I got to just grind. I got to go hard, you know, and lift heavy weights right away. No. And it becomes a thing where you don't enjoy it because it's not sustainable. So again, when it comes to physical activities, I want you to find things that you genuinely like to do. Whether it's brisk walking. Now, that's not slow walking. I'm talking about brisk walking. That's when you pick up the pace. You know, you want to increase the intensity. Some people like swimming. You may have a gym in your area that has a swimming pool. You know, you may like swimming in the ocean or the river. You know, go for it. Some people like cycling. They like dancing. You know, even gardening. Now, I'm not a gardener, but I've heard that people can get their exercise in by doing yard work. Hey, if that's your thing, go for it. You know what I'm saying? But it's good to mix up things. You know, for me, exercise is a fun experience. I do all kinds of things. Yes, I go to the gym every day for the most part, or I do some form of exercise, flexibility training, endurance, high intensity. I'm really into running more now, outdoor running. I'm okay with running on the treadmill if I'm working on some speed work. But as far as my easy runs, my long distance runs, like a 5K or whatnot, or practicing for a 10K, I like running outside. And I'm telling you, I take different paths. I go to different parks. I go to different trails. I like to trail run. I like to mix it up. I'll go in different directions. I mean, I'll start at a different point within the same park. I mean, just making it fun, making it just something that is so enjoyable. Again, I like hiking. Sometimes I go on a light hike. Sometimes I go on a more intense hike. But hopefully you hear what I'm saying. It's about discovering physical activities that you genuinely enjoy, and that's going to help you to get lasting results. The next thing I want you to do is create a structured exercise plan, you know, or at least follow a structured exercise plan. You know, when you develop a well-rounded exercise routine that includes your cardiovascular activities, strength training, and flexibility exercises, that can go a long way to giving you energy, helping you to build strength, helping you to build endurance and so forth. So I do recommend that people aim for at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic exercises per week. That's roughly like what, 30 minutes a day. And you can spread that over several days and so forth. That doesn't mean you have to work out every single day, but maybe you want to do an every other day spread, you know, or maybe you want to work out, you know, every day for a certain amount of period and so forth. Me, I don't look at the time because, you know, I'm just at that point where I could be out there for hours hiking and I'm not looking at the time, but I'm looking at, you know, getting it in. I'm accomplishing more miles when I'm out there hiking or running and so forth. So the bottom line is find a program that's structured because, you know, when you have structure, when you know going into the exercise, what you're going to do that day, what you're going to accomplish, you can at the end of that exercise, whether it's walking again or strength training, you can celebrate the accomplishment of that exercise because, hey, that was one more starting line, if you will, that you crossed over. That's one more finish line that you met and so forth. So you get my point. Another thing I want you to do is start monitoring your blood sugar levels. You know, whether you are doing the finger prick or you're doing wearing a continuous blood glucose monitor. The goal is to check it regularly, you know, before, during, and after exercise so you can understand how your body's responding to the exercise. You want to know, okay, well, normally when I go hiking or when I go running or go swimming, my blood sugar normally drops to about this. So that means, okay, I need to adjust when I take my medications afterwards or if I even need to take medications right afterwards, it can help you to even know when to eat, when not to eat, what certain things you should put in your body before, during, and after, let's say a workout and so forth. Now, here's another thing. You know, we were talking about hydration earlier. You definitely need to stay hydrated. I talked about that before. Just want to reemphasize that, especially in the hot and warm months. You want to drink plenty of water before, during, and after your workouts. Now, here's the thing. Don't guzzle a whole bunch of water, you know, when you're walking into the gym, because all that water is going to sit on your stomach. I'm not talking about that. So remember, if you've been hydrated throughout the day, by the time you get to your workout, your body's hydrated. So what you want to be able to do is sip on water while you're working out. You're not trying to guzzle a whole bunch of water down and so forth, because at the end of the day, you want to drink enough water so that you can be supported in your performance when it comes to your exercising. Here's another thing. I want you to fuel your body the right way. Again, it's all about eating a balanced meal or even snack before you start exercising to ensure that you have enough energy. You know, choose foods that provide a combination of good carbohydrates. I don't want you to get, to the point where you're eating a donut or eating some pizza like some people do before they go work out because they're like, hey, I got to have a lot of carbs. So let me go ahead and just load up on sandwiches and stuff like that. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You also want to take in enough protein and healthy fats and so forth. Also, you want to gradually increase your intensity. Remember earlier I talked about the difference between regular walking or light walking and a brisk walk. You know, you want to get to the point where, hey, you know, if your endurance when you're walking is kind of minimal right now, or you can only walk for about 5 minutes, you know, in that 5 minutes, pick up the pace some. And then the more and more you do that and be consistent with that is going to help you to build your endurance so you can go longer and you can go further. So again, picking up the intensity, start with something light, then go to moderate exercise. Same thing with lifting weights. You know, don't go in there trying to lift 45 pounds if you know the last time you lift weights, you were struggling with 15 pounds. You know, start light, then go moderate, then you can start going heavy and so forth. Some of your exercise programs will help you to gradually grow to that. Because the thing is, when you gradually start increasing the intensity and your duration over time, you're going to start noticing your body responds differently and you're going to feel great about it. So this is going to help your body to adapt and minimize the risk of hypoglycemia and even injury too, by the way. Last thing is, I want you to listen to your body. Pay attention to how you feel during your exercises. If you experience dizziness, lightheadedness, weakness, or any other unusual symptoms, you want to stop exercising and you want to be able to check your blood sugar to see what's going on in your body. I remember there was a time where when I first started exercising, I was taking insulin injections right before going to work out. This is before educating myself. I remember working out one day and I was just shaking. And I'm like, man, why am I shaking? And I felt a little dizzy. And that's because my blood sugar levels were dropping. And I want to say I went ahead and checked my blood sugar. And I was sure enough, you know, getting into that area where it's like, hey, you need to do something better. So I think that day I took a glucose tablet and that helped to put me back where I needed to be. And so I had to stop exercising for that day because I was just really concerned and I didn't want to go into hypoglycemia. So hopefully today you got some practical information that can help you along your journey. So now, folks, here it is. Remember, the key to long-term success in managing type 2 diabetes and potentially reversing it and pre-diabetes through exercise is finding a routine that works for you. It's about staying consistent. It's about continuously educating yourself. Because you know what? Knowledge is key. The more and more you learn, the more you can implement. You see what I'm saying? By implementing these smart approaches to exercise, you can make positive changes that support your health goals and lead to a fulfilling lifestyle. My friend, I want you to stay tuned for more valuable insights in the future episodes of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast. It's all about helping you to dive deep into those things and answer those questions that you may have concerning your health and nutrition. Listen, if I can turn my life around, you can too. I know sometimes it becomes difficult, it becomes confusing, but let's end the confusion by educating ourselves. You know, get more books, listen to podcasts, listen to and read material that's really going to help you learn more about what type 2 diabetes is and pre-diabetes is, so that you can make informed decisions, so that you can become your own expert when it comes to your body and your pursuit of your health goals. Again, my friend, I appreciate you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast. As always, stay focused, keep moving, never go back, leap forward, bounce back because you can, my friend. And above all else, trust God. You got this. I believe in you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with Oscar Camejo. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for motivational and educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a physician or other healthcare professional or qualified fitness instructor. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or professional advice or services. If you're looking for help on your journey, seek a qualified medical practitioner. It's important that you utilize someone who is a trained, licensed healthcare professional who can help you on your journey toward good health.